Blog Talk Radio.
Put my mind towards figuring what to call you at the beginning of the show must involve the term bitch, so I threw guppy in front to say guppy bitch. Does it make any sense? No, but who cares? We're going to spend the rest of the show making sense, so I like to start off not making sense. That's my new theory as to why I begin every show in such a creepy way. Here's what you have to look forward to. We got a jam-packed show. I mean, it goes without saying that we got the Supreme Court case on Obamacare. You can exhale, you can relax, because if you're in a red state, don't worry, it's all good. The Supreme Court did the right thing, sided with President Obama and sided with the federal government, and they upheld Obamacare. I'll give you the details of the case here. We discussed it a few times over the past year or so, but I'll refresh your memory as to what exactly was up for discussion in the case. I'll read you part of the majority opinion here from John Roberts, who, of course, was the deciding vote. So we'll talk about that. We also have some horrible news on the fast-track authority for the TPP. We have an incredible instance of abuse of authority coming out of Nevada. This civil asset forfeiture garbage has to stop. I mean, really what it is when it boils down to it is there's a group of people in America, law enforcement, that can legally rob shit from you. When I tell you this story, man, you're going to get so fucking frustrated. Because if you put yourself in this person's shoes, you're going to say, what the fuck has this country come to? I don't want to give away too much about that right now, though. So, again, we'll save that and we'll bring it up in a little bit. Bill O'Reilly kind of, sort of, declares a race war. I mean, obviously he didn't mean it that way, literally, but the way he phrases it is very clunky, and it sounds like he's calling for a race war. Lindsey Graham goes on the Senate floor to talk about the horrific terrorist attack, and, of course, even when Muslims have nothing to do with it, he has to throw Muslims under the bus. It's incredible. I'm going to go in on that story. And later on, we got Pat Robertson talking about witches. We got a cop comes clean about all the fucked up shit that he saw when he was a cop, and much, much more. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here, and we'll kick it off with the Supreme Court case. Big day today at the Supreme Court. They gave their ruling on the latest attempt to dismantle Obamacare called King versus Burwell. So here's what the case boils down to. This one sentence in the Affordable Care Act. It says, quote, "an exchange established by the state." So the idea from the opponents is that Obamacare wasn't written with a health care exchange established by the country. So the federal exchange has to be dismantled because the law doesn't allow for a federal exchange. And all it allows for is state exchanges. So if Republican states decided not to set up an exchange at the state level, they say, well, you can't create it at the national level because the law doesn't allow for that. And of course, if they rule on the side of the challengers, almost all of the red states lose their subsidies through the federal exchange. And that means prices for insurance policies go way up. People can't afford them, and then Obamacare would crumble slowly around it. So how did the Supreme Court rule? They sided with Obamacare. They upheld it. They did the right thing. Now, John Roberts was the key vote. He was the key vote the last time around when he saved Obamacare. He is a conservative justice, but on this issue, he couldn't bring himself to twist himself into all these into an intellectual pretzel. He couldn't do the mental gymnastics enough, so he ended up doing the right thing and siding with Obamacare. Here's what he said in the majority opinion. Quote, in a democracy, the power to make the law rests with those chosen by the people. Our role is more confined to say what the law is, like in Marbury versus Madison. That is easier in some cases than in others. But in every case, we must respect the role of the legislature and take care not to undo what it has done. A fair reading of legislation demands a fair understanding of the legislative plan. Congress passed the Affordable Care Act to improve health insurance markets, not to destroy them. If at all possible, we must interpret the act in a way that is consistent with the former and avoids the latter. Section 36B can fairly be read consistent with what we see as Congress's plan, and that is the reading we adopt. So their argument is basically, well, the word state can be interpreted as a literal state, like you pick a state, New York, Kentucky, whatever, or it can be interpreted as a nation state, a.k.a. a country, like the United States of America. So why wouldn't the federal government be able to create an exchange if the word state is interpreted in a broader way? They say, well, it can. And also, the rest of the law seems to imply that a federal exchange is fine. So it seems like it would have to be a purposeful misreading of the law to say otherwise, because the rest of the exchange goes on as if it's like understood and everybody knows that there could be a federal exchange. But naturally, Scalia wrote a scathing dissent, and he said, quote, we might as well call it SCOTUS care. So instead of Obamacare, it's like SCOTUS care now, because we like upheld it twice and that's fucked up. We shouldn't have done that. Yeah. I find Antonin Scalia a clownish human being because he wears the cape of principle and parades around like, oh, yeah, no, I always make decisions based off the Constitution. I never let my personal politics get involved. And then he always lets his personal politics get involved. Every decision he's ever made, his personal politics have gotten involved. There's a great article we covered a few months ago which showed a clear example of him contradicting himself on the issue of Obamacare. There was one time when it was convenient to his argument to say, well, if we strike down a certain part of Obamacare, Congress will fix it. So he said that. And then there was a different time where he said, this Congress can't function properly. How can we expect them to? So again, it's just whatever suits his argument, he'd say. We've covered the states' rights hypocrisy before. He always screams about how states are sovereign. They can do what they want. So, for example, he did that when Arizona wanted to enforce their own border policy. He basically said, they're not a sovereign state if you don't let them do that. So in that case, it's states' rights. Then when they hear a case about marijuana and certain states either legalizing it or decriminalizing it or using it for medicinal purposes, what does he say? Oh, no, the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution says the federal government overrides the state government. Therefore, take your states' rights for a hike. The federal government has the last say because they're on my side. So the guy's the biggest hypocrite in the world. He's a comical human being. But here's what pisses me off about this case. The Supreme Court, in one of the previous Obamacare cases, slapped down the provision of Obamacare that mandated that the states create their own exchanges. Okay, so part of the original law was state needs to create its own exchange. So the federal government wasn't necessarily going to step up and do it. It was going to be, okay, you guys want states' rights? Okay, states' rights. You guys want to take care of stuff at a state level? Okay, great. So you guys create your exchange, and that'll be part of the law. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. So it's optional. So now some red states decided, well, we're just not going to set up our own exchange. 34 of them, to be exact. 34 states refused to make an exchange. A lot of the most liberal states, of course, created their own exchange. So that made it so that the federal government essentially had to step up and create the federal exchange in order for the law to function. And then Scalia turns around and says, you can't do that because that's not the original intent of the law. Well, yeah, because you changed the law. You blocked the original intent of the law. So then when they step up and they say, okay, I guess we got to fix it this way, you go, oh, you can't do that. That's not the original intent. But when they did the original intent, you said, no, that I don't like that, so no. So then it's a lose-lose. You see, all he's trying to do is torpedo it. That's what it comes down to. He doesn't give a fuck about the law itself. He cares about his own political opinions, so he'll twist himself into a pretzel to say, it's unconstitutional because I say it's unconstitutional. I don't have a good argument for it, but I'll just say it, and hopefully I can convince a bunch of the other idiots on the court. Well, thankfully, he didn't convince John Roberts, and John Roberts did the right thing yet again. So at least for now, Obamacare looks as if it's here to stay, which is fantastic because it's certainly better than the healthcare system we had beforehand. But of course, I have to end the segment here on a downer and say, we're not done with healthcare reform yet. You know, it's an incremental change. It's a step in the right direction to have Obamacare over nothing care. But we know what the end goal is. We know what we should have. We should have a single payer system. We should have Medicare for all. And we shouldn't stop fighting until we get there. Okay. Now we go from one substantive conversation to another one on the TPP. That is after I finish taking a sip of my drink. I have some purple drink here. I'm just kidding. Wasn't it funny to hear me say purple drink? All right. We have some pretty bad news to report to you today about fast track authority for the TPP. Huffington Post reports, quote, the Senate made it official on Wednesday, granting Obama the power to streamline passage of major trade pacts with Pacific Rim nations and the European Union by a vote of 60 to 38. The approval of trade promotion authority doesn't guarantee the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, but does make the agreement's path forward easier by barring Congress from filibustering or amending whatever deal Obama reaches. So, recently they blocked it. We spoke about it when they blocked it, but I warned you at the time that it was a temporary victory because they were just arguing over little provisions here and there. They, by and large, agreed on the bigger picture, which is let's give Obama the authority to negotiate another horrible new free trade deal to take jobs away from the American people. So we get the bad news that as of Wednesday, it was made official. They continue here and say, labor unions, environmental groups, internet freedom advocates, and the overwhelming majority of congressional Democrats have battled Obama over concerns that TPP and other pending trade agreements will exacerbate income inequality and empower corporations to challenge important rules and regulations. The fast-track powers approved by the Senate on Wednesday will last for 6 years and make them available to the next president. Good googly moogly. I don't even trust Obama with this fucking authority. Let me be clear about that. But to make it so that, you know, God forbid, President Chris Christie or Jeb Bush or any other numbskull might have the authority to negotiate any trade deal without having to run the provisions by Congress? Oh, that makes me sick to my stomach. They also go on to explain in the article that Elizabeth Warren is particularly concerned about the international tribunals that are set up under the TPP. Now, the way these things work is incredible because it almost lends credibility to all the so-called conspiracy theorists who talk about the NWO. You know, the New World Order, one world government. Because what it does is it makes it so that the old paradigm is blown up. The old paradigm is you have a corporation functioning in a country and the government is able to regulate the corporation. The corporation has to abide by the laws in the country. I mean, it's common sense, government 101. It has laws that everybody in the society has to abide, including the corporations. Well, this says no. You guys are equal under the law. So if a corporation says to a government, we don't want to stop dumping toxic chemicals into this river nearby us, the government has to say, okay, let's take it to the international tribunal where they'll decide who's right. But the way it works is if the government backed by the people pass a law saying stop doing X, it's not equal. It's not like you got to say, I disagree. Imagine they do that with, like, murder. You know, the government is arresting me for murder, but I disagree that they're arresting me for murder, so let's take it to an international tribunal and figure it out there. Now, you might say, well, whatever, they might come to the right conclusion anyway. Well, who the fuck do you think is going to really fund the international tribunal? The people who fund everything, the corporations, the billionaires. So they're going to end up getting their way no matter what. This is basically setting up a system of corporate fascism around the world. It's insanity. And Elizabeth Warren is like, what the fuck are you doing? You're a Democratic president? You're a so-called liberal? And you're like, yeah, rock and roll. Give me the authority to negotiate this thing, and let's do corporate fascism. Yay! So it is a terrible idea. Now, this next part in the article shows you the sad state of politics in America today and just how corrupt it is. They say, quote, shortly after the passage of the TPA, the Senate passed Trade Adjustment Assistance, which offers financial aid and job training to American workers who lose their jobs due to foreign competition. It has long been a target of Republican derision and served as a flashpoint for legislative drama earlier this month. So understand what they're saying there, because this just proves our theory of the political spectrum shifting way to the right. So the Republican position was, everybody shut the fuck up, let's do this corporate fascist deal, and we don't even want to help people when they inevitably lose their jobs as a result of us outsourcing all of our jobs. The Democratic position is, okay, no, cool, rock and roll on the whole corporate fascism thing, we're on board with that. But let's add a provision that says when inevitably people lose their jobs because we outsource the jobs, make it so that they can go to like a seminar to get trained for a new worse job where they get paid less money. This is what the fucking liberals have come to in America. Again, to be clear, there are some fantastic liberals. Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, a lot of Democrats in the House, even some Tea Party people are against this because they don't want to give Obama more authority. So there are some good people involved in this whole equation. But the Senate? Oh, God, the Senate is fucking rotting. It's rotting because it's swimming in corporate cash, and they're going to do whatever their donors want them to do. And again, a lot of people in Congress as well. Same thing. So this is fucking horrible, man. Now, again, to be clear, this doesn't mean that the TPP has passed yet, but what it does mean is we're fast-tracking it, and President Obama can add provisions, take out provisions, however he wants, without having to go through Congress. And then when all is said and done, they can't filibuster it, but they're going to have to do an up or down vote on the TPP bill when it's finished being negotiated. Now, the saddest part of this all is there's no doubt all the litany of bad provisions in the TPP. It is impossible to make a TPP bill that doesn't fuck over the American people. No matter what, if they pass this thing, we're going to lose jobs for sure. Every other trade deal, we've lost jobs. We're going to lose it for this one too. There's going to be some sort of system set up where you have corporate fascism where governments are now equal to corporations. That's going to be in the final bill. Also, corporations can sue because they might lose future profits under this bill. So it's going to be corporate socialism also, because we're going to have to – the taxpayers are going to have to fund these corporations if they say, hey, I think I should have made more money. So – the bill's going to be bad no matter what. Even if they make it 10% better, 30% better, 50% better, it's still going to be a disaster. And your Congress sold you the fuck out because of who their donors are. So all we can do now is sit and wait until the TPP comes up, and then we'll see what happens then. Or actually, no, scratch that. That's not – we can do more than that. Call your fucking congressman. Call your congressman. Call your senator. Say, where do you stand on this? Hey, bitch, guess what? If you voted for the TPA, and definitely if you vote for the TPP, your punk ass is getting primaried, son. Oh, it's that simple. And oh my God, the progressive grassroots and Tea Party grassroots, we are going to support anybody who's not establishment and anybody who actually stands up for against things like this. Okay? You understand that? We got to make that perfectly clear to them, because we're not living in a democracy anymore. The American people are clear. We don't want this. But yet it's still being pushed through, and it's being pushed through because corporations and donors want it to be pushed through. Enough is enough. Let's fight it and make sure that the TPP doesn't pass now. One more, and then we'll take our first break. Let's do that civil asset forfeiture story. Story is reporting on an incredible instance of abuse of authority today coming out of Nevada. Apparently, a state trooper stopped a man named Strawn Gorman in his motorhome. He has an RV because he was driving too slow. So the trooper asked to do a search, and Gorman declined because he knows his rights, and he said there was no probable cause, so why would I let him search my stuff? So here's where the story gets really fishy. The trooper lets him go, and then he radios ahead to have another cop who's apparently down the road stop him, and that cop stops him and does a search with a drug-sniffing dog. So the dog ends up finding no drugs, but $167,000 in different places throughout the RV. So what do the cops do? They seize the money. Now, here's the thing. He was never charged with a crime. He wasn't charged with anything. And again, he had no drugs on him. There is zero evidence against him of any wrongdoing. They may have had a hunch, hey, he's got a lot of money. Maybe he's involved in a drug deal. But all it was a hunch. There's no, hey, look at the phone records. Oh, look, he spoke to a known drug trafficker or whatever. No, nothing. No evidence. He just has money in his motor home. So he has money in his home. And he's like, look, that's just where I keep the money. I have some money. This is where I keep it. I'm going to visit my girlfriend. They have zero evidence on him. Zero. And they took the money. So they stole his money. That's what they did. Law enforcement stole his money. So he took them to court. Now, this all happened in 2013, but the news that we get today is a judge, thankfully, just ruled on his side. And in his decision, the judge kind of scolded law enforcement a little bit. And they were like, what are you doing? What do you think this is? You can't act like this. He's like, this is a clear violation of Fourth Amendment rights. And look, the overarching issue here to discuss is what exactly civil asset forfeiture laws are and what they've become. We've now just legalized law enforcement to steal shit from people. That's what it is. Because, again, they had no evidence on him. He had a lot of money. They took the money. And then understand, we've covered stories in the past where they can take the money and then they can use it to buy whatever shit they want for the department. There's one town, I forget where it was, it may have been Mississippi, where they built a whole new department from civil asset forfeiture money. Okay, do you realize what you're doing? You're robbing, you're stealing, and then you're like rubbing it in. It doesn't make it better because you wear a fucking badge, you assholes. But see, this is the mindset that we try to fight all the time on the show. It's the tribalism mindset. The idea is, since we are the cops, since we have a badge, we are the good guys by definition. Therefore, anything we do by definition is lawful because we are the law. So if we want to violate things, if we want to act in an immoral way, in an unethical way, where everybody else knows we're acting like that, we don't care what they think because we're the good guys by definition and what we're doing is lawful by definition. Well, guess what? No more. We're here to say, fuck that. We're here to say, stop. If you're committing a crime that would be a crime when anybody else does it, but you're wearing a badge, it's fucking irrelevant that you're wearing a badge. It's the old Nixon idea. It's not a crime when the president does it. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. The whole idea of America is that it is. Justice is supposed to be blind, and whenever we stumble, and that's not the case, it's time to fucking fix it. We have to stop with these civil asset forfeiture laws. I mean, they're pathetic. They're pathetic. I mean, this is something that's laughable. And, unfortunately, we have a system where the law enforcement officials have bought into this system way too much, and I don't even think they stop to think about the morality of what they're doing, because they really have bought into this tribalism mindset. The guy did nothing wrong. He had his money stolen from him, and he had to go through a court proceeding. Do you have any idea how angry I'd be? This happened in 2013, so he's been going to court, up until recently, until now, 2015. Spent years in court just to get his fucking money back because law enforcement decided, mine, I'm going to take it. I have no reason to take it, but I'm going to take it. The whole purpose of law enforcement is supposed to be to uphold the law, to uphold justice. And what they're doing here is perpetrating injustice. That's what they're doing. So we got to get rid of these civil asset forfeiture laws. While we're at it, scrap the fucking drug war because you're, legalizing unjust authority there as well. And if we don't roll back these laws and change the way we train police officers, we're never going to stop hearing about stories like this that are absolutely maddening. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Bill O'Reilly. Did I say perpetrating, perpetuating? I think I used the wrong word there. But whatevs, dude. All right, we'll be right back. Like I said, Bill O'Reilly. Then we got Lindsey Graham. Slamming Muslims even when it makes no sense to slam Muslims because he's Lindsey Graham.
Up and drop it down. She knows, she what all the fellas looking at. Cause they know there's a song come on this rap. Cause she loves the attention that she gets when she moves, girl. Show her now with her homegirls in the time. Taking me home, yep. That I know she loves the attention that she gets when she moves. Show her now with her homegirl that she got me watching too, girl. And she knows.
You got my attention, baby, go do what you do. I notice, now you gon' have to make a move. All this ice in my rolling, no wonder I play it cool. Ain't no I in team, but I got my eyes on you. I watch it bounce when she walks, she lick her lips when she talk. I throw her in that Bentley coupe with the top off like Mardi Gras. All that kick, come get you some feeling. Like a soap, I'ma watch all my trippin'. Hit it so long that you might lose feeling. With a leg to the earth, she can walk on the ceiling.
Back, guys, and we're gonna go to Bill O'Reilly now. This is gonna be good. Bill O'Reilly decided to attack the media over their coverage of the Dylann Roof terrorist attack in Charleston. He's mad that some people are daring to bring up race and have a conversation about race and white supremacy in America.
Afraid because if they do challenge, they may be labeled anti-black bigots. So the media in the USA is intimidated. The only TV network that does not accept the blatant dishonesty that America is a white supremacist nation is Fox News. And some of us on this channel get viciously attacked for standing up for the truth. Last night on my computer, the Yahoo News Service carried anti-Fox defamation from all kinds of crazy left-wing websites. It was brutal. Yahoo just throwing this garbage out there with no balance, giving these smear merchants a worldwide platform. You rarely see any conservative points of view on Yahoo. Where's Daily Caller? Where's Breitbart? Where's WorldNet Daily? Where's Newsmax? In the world of Yahoo News, they don't exist. Yet every anti-Fox statement John Stewart makes is headlined. It's disgraceful. So that's why these anti-American race bigoters spew their invective with glee, because there's little downside for them, with the exception of terrible ratings. As Talking Points has reported, the no-spin truth is that there are anti-black bigots in America. Of course there are. But to say the entire country is defined by them is a gross lie. That would be like saying that African Americans are all defined by Farrakhan or the Black Panthers. Most Americans, no matter what color they are decent, fair-minded people. But there are problems in the African-American precincts, especially in the inner city.
Oh, boy.
However, the problems have little to do with white people, rather a corrosive culture that does not confront child neglect and antisocial behavior on the streets. That's what's driving poverty and dysfunction. And the excuse that slavery, Jim Crow, and other historical injustices should now define how black citizens are treated is insane. Barack Obama, a poor boy of mixed race, rose up with little parental help and became the president. Did these anti-American folks who are exploiting Charleston miss that? Just today, Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, a man of Indian descent, announced he's running for president. Dr. Ben Carson, who overcame poverty to become a brilliant surgeon, is also running for president. And the far-left smear merchants have the nerve, the gall to say America's a white supremacist nation and the press does nothing about it? Fox News is attacked when we report the truth? Well, you want a war, you got a war. I'm not going to sit here any longer and take this garbage.
Oh, you're so macho. You're so macho in that air-conditioned, comfy studio. You're getting a little loud there, man. You're sweating a little bit. Should you pause and take a break? Have the makeup girl come in and powder your forehead a little bit? Calm down, dude. Like, Bill O'Reilly thinks like he's some sort of a hero. And he thinks he's telling truth to power and is standing up for the common man. But you're not speaking truth to power. You are the power, and you're talking down to poor people. That's what you're doing. And also at the end there, as people rightly pointed out online, they're like, did Bill O'Reilly just declare a race war? You want a war or you got one? I'm not going to take this anymore. Whoa, buddy, what are you talking about? Now, obviously, I don't think he's literally calling for a race war. Of course not. But what he's doing is he's saying, I am going to viciously attack liberals who want to talk about race. That's what he's saying. By the way, as if he doesn't do that already. He's in the middle of a rant doing exactly that. And he's like, I'm going to do this. I know, you're doing it right now. You don't need to say you're going to do it. I see you doing it right now. But see, the thing about Bill O'Reilly is, as many pundits have accurately pointed out, it's like he actively avoids nuance. So I didn't have time to play the full, like, 8-minute clip, but earlier on there, he shows a bunch of clips of, like, people on MSNBC and people elsewhere saying that America is a racist nation. But, of course, he takes little, like, you know, 6-second, 13-second chunks and splices them next to each other. And he tries to give the false impression that people are saying, like, no, it's a white supremacist nation and everybody's like Dylan Roof. No, but see, that's the thing, Bill. Nobody's saying that. You set up a straw man and then you slapped it down. Nobody is saying, no liberals are saying that every white person in America equals Dylan Roof. That's not what anybody's saying. You're actively avoiding the nuance because you know the nuance makes your opponent's argument true. And what is that argument, by the way? That racism is a complex thing. Racism has many layers and many different levels. So when people say America's a racist nation, or when people say white supremacy is an issue, listen to the rest of what they say, which is usually, that makes up a much smaller percentage than what it used to be, but the way racism manifests today is not Bull Connor style with fire hoses and dogs sicking on black people, but it's systemic issues. It's things that get in the way of black people getting a job, and it's casual assumptions that people make about black people that make it so that they don't get treated equally in society. So, for example, we've spoken about the resume study before. When you have this exact same resume and job history, and one resume has a black-sounding name and the other one has a white-sounding name, the white name gets 50% or more hits and callbacks. The only way to describe that is race, Bill. I'm sorry. I know you're like, oh, there's no racism, no racism. But I'm giving you an example where that's the only thing that explains it. You can ignore it if you want to, but the problem still exists. And then there's the bicycle study. It was an investigative report from, I think it was ABC, where you had a white guy trying to unchain a bike, having trouble. What happens is, people who are walking by, they just continue to walk by. Nobody pays attention. When it's a white woman having trouble unchaining a bike, people go out of their way to help the white woman. When it's a black guy having trouble unchaining a bike, what's the immediate assumption that everybody makes? They think he's stealing it. Again, how do you explain that? Or how about the online sales study? If you have a black hand holding a product versus a white hand holding a product, people are way more likely to go to the white hand, even with all the other information being the same. Not to mention that, you know, white people and black people use drugs at similar rates, but black people get arrested 4 times more often. White people sell drugs more than blacks do, but blacks get arrested more for selling drugs. I mean, for fuck's sake, there are still, as John Stewart pointed out the other day, there are still roads and schools in the South named after Confederate generals who were fighting to continue slavery. And black kids go to these schools and drive on these roads. There's a systemic problem, Bill. Now, again, the overt racism, the blatant racism, the pro-Confederate Dylann Roof style is not, you know, the main thing today throughout America that people are worried about. There aren't nearly as many lynch mobs as there were in the early 1900s and the late 1800s. But that's the thing. Nobody's saying there is. We're saying we need to have a conversation about race because we do need to have a conversation about race because racism manifests itself today in various different ways, and it is a systemic problem. And by the way, even that problem is bigger than Bill O'Reilly's letting it on to be. He's trying to make it seem like, well, you know, there's some crazy white supremacists and some crazy black supremacists, but what's the difference? The history tied with the white supremacists in America, because at one point they did have institutional power. For fuck's sake, today there's still 160 chapters that we know of the KKK, and that doesn't even include white nationalist groups, of which there are many more. And let's remember the CCC, the Council of Conservative Citizens, which was set up to stop desegregation, they donated to Republican politicians. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mia Love, who's a black Republican, they donated to them because they know the ideology that they stand for. They know that they're in favor of no policy that would actually help black people. So, again, they do have more power than Bill O'Reilly is making it out to be. But also, just a few more points to make here real quick. He uses the standard Republican excuse. I found a few black people that made it, therefore there's no racism. For fuck's sake, in apartheid South Africa, some black people made it. Did that mean that apartheid wasn't an issue? Did that mean that it wasn't a problem? Obama, Bobby Jindal, Ben Carson. Now, again, what is he leaving out? He's leaving out that, God forbid, any of those guys got caught at one point, like Obama, part of the Chum game, he was smoking weed. If he was caught smoking weed at one point, his life would have been drastically different, drastically different. Whereas if you're a white guy and you get caught doing some kind of drug, if you're George W. Bush, for example, all the rumors of him doing cocaine like nobody's business, going AWOL, right? Well, then it's not as big of a deal. You can get caught and you're still president in some cases. So, again, there's massive differences. But I also love when he does the most obvious false equivalence the world's ever seen. He's like, Yahoo News had something that was against Fox. How dare they? We need balance. Where's the Daily Caller? Where's WorldNet Daily? No, here's the difference, you jackass. The Daily Caller and WorldNet Daily and all the conservative sites you named, they don't report facts. They don't actually do information. The things that they talk about are not true. So Yahoo can't cover it because then they would be doing a disservice to the idea of news. Whereas a guy like Jon Stewart, like him or dislike him, the guy's both funny and he happens to make a lot of really good and factual points. That's why. But see, they demand to be treated equally even when their substance is not equally true, which is a trick because then again, you're skewing the debate in their favor. That would be a conservative bias if you give them coverage when what they're saying is false. So Bill O'Reilly, of course, that goes over his head. And then finally he goes, well, racism, he essentially says, you know, racism is not a big problem anymore. And to the extent that it is a problem, blame the blacks. It's their fault. You heard him. He started going on that same rant that he always goes on. The culture and the community and the lack of the fathers and they don't the rap music and things like that. Because when it boils down to it, that's what Bill O'Reilly really thinks the issue is. And notice, he flipped it at one point there where he talks about how it's the culture and it's who they are and how they act which leads to the poverty. When, of course, the reality is more likely what? The poverty comes first because they've been systemically held down, and as a result of the poverty, then the culture comes about out of the poverty and out of the degradation and out of the fact that they've been left behind and suppressed for so long and they haven't had an equal opportunity at success. So he flips it in his head, and why does he do that? Because he needs to blame them. He doesn't feel responsible for it because he doesn't understand the way the economy works and the way society works, so he needs to find a way to take the blame off of a white power structure and put it, it's their fault. Look, they listen to 2 Chainz. Blame them. Bill, your brand of political commentary is dying, and here's the very simple reason why. It's not true. Okay. Now we go to Lindsey Graham. Oh boy, I'm going to have to get angry at this one too. Lindsey Graham spoke on the floor of the Senate about the terrorist attack in South Carolina, which is of course his state, and he said something wonderfully condescending during his comments.
I wish you could have heard what was said to me and Tim. Everybody in this body has come up to us in one way or another and said the most kind things. So the United States Senate, we've got our problems, but we're still a family. So thank you all from all over this country for the kindness you've shown during these difficult times. Very quickly, I don't know how you can sit with somebody for an hour in a church and pray with them and get up and shoot them. That's Mideast take. That's something I didn't think we had here, but apparently we do.
Even when it's not the Muslims' fault, blame the Muslims. Muslims had nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. He's like, this is Mideast hate. This is what those guys do. You know how they are. How gratuitous and ridiculous. And I think what's so frustrating about that is that, number one, he has no clue. As you could tell by how he's saying it, he has no clue that that's offensive. And number two, that it's painfully tribal, and if not racist. See, that's the thing about Lindsey Graham. His tribalism to him is like an of course. Like if you point out to Lindsey, like, dude, are you insinuating that, like, you know, white Americans, like by definition, are the good guy, or, you know, or white Southerners by definition are the good guys, He'd be like, we are. Duh. And it's like, oh God, you're not capable of being objective. So let's go ahead and educate Lindsey Graham about this hate he's talking about, so-called Mideast hate. Well, let's see if it in fact exists in America among whites. Now, again, I'm not even going to get into the low-hanging fruit, let's call it, of the fact that the overwhelming majority of mass shootings not tied to a political ideology, just mass shootings, are done by white males. Now, does anybody say, well, we should probably fucking, you know, profile these young white guys because they're the ones doing the shootings? Nobody says that. Does anybody say, look at the culture of young loner white guys? It's a dangerous culture, you know what I'm saying? Nobody says that. But Lindsey Graham, in his infinite subjectivity and tribalism, even though that's a fact, he can't bring himself to look at it like, well, yeah, sure, white Americans oftentimes do damage. It has to be Mideast hate. Why not young loner white guy hate? How about that? Nope, can't be that, because, again, we're the good guys by definition. Mideast hate, it's Mideast hate. So let's focus on terrorism. White American terrorism. Well, here we have an example. In 2014, Larry Steve McWilliams, fired 100 rounds in Austin, Texas, at various government buildings, and he planned on dispersing pipe bombs. He was part of the Phineas Movement, which are, quote, vigilantes of Christendom. So there's some of that Mideast hate you're talking about. Oh, that's right, that's not Mideast hate. That is white American hate, specifically in the name of a Christian ideology in this case. How about Jared and Amanda Miller? Remember this? They murdered two police officers who were eating lunch and minding their business in Las Vegas. Then they draped a swastika and the Don't Tread on Me flags over the bodies. They were also conspiracy theorists, and they were part of a patriot group. Doesn't look like Mideast hate to me. Looks like white American hate. How about Frazier Glenn Miller, a former KKK member? He gunned down three people at a Jewish community center. Not Mideast hate. Not Mideast hate. That would be white American hate. How about Robert James Talbot of the American Insurgent Movement? He planned to bomb government buildings and mosques with C4, stay classy, and he was caught at the last second. Doesn't look like Mideast hate. David Allen Bruch is a sovereign citizen who tried to capture, torture, and kill Las Vegas police officers in this massive plot. June 18th, 2013, there was a KKK attack that was foiled. December 21st, 2012, there was a neo-Nazi attack plot that was foiled. September 4th, 2012, there was a sovereign citizen who gunned down a cop at a routine traffic stop. August 5th, 2012, there was a neo-Nazi skinhead, Wade Michael Page, who murdered six people at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Should I continue? Because the list goes on and on and on and on and on and is fucking endless. That's not Mideast hate. That's not Mideast hate. That's white American hate. And again, like I said, I'm leaving out the countless examples of when it's not tied to a political ideology. But again, in Lindsey Graham's mind, classic tribalist. Well, my people, we're just good people. We always mean well. Our intent is fantastic. So if one of us does something, he's a crazy, he's an individual, he's a lone nut. That's not representative of the rest of us. And that's not like the stuff that we normally do. That's like those midi savages, you know what I mean? Well, why wouldn't they be able to flip it back on you and say those white American savages based on all this information I'm giving you right here? And would you accept it if they said that? Is that what you, would you be like, no, rock and roll, you're pointing to examples. You're giving me facts as to why white American males are the problem, so rock and roll. Yeah, it's the white American hate. That's what it is. Would he accept that if somebody else said that in the Middle East? No, chances are he'd be like, oh, how outrageous. You're stereotyping, and you're going too far in your comments. But when he says about other people, again, it's an of course. It's a, what do you mean? We're the good guy. We're white Americans. Hello. And then finally, let me just say this. If you really want to have a conversation about Mideast hate, now let's be clear. Is there Mideast hate that's, for example, tied to religion and tied to other issues where there's repressive governments and women's rights are under attack and there's all these issues? Of course there is. Absolutely there are, and we talk about it all the time, okay? So let's be clear about that. But there's another kind of Mideast hate that Lindsey Graham, not only does he not acknowledge, but he thinks it's a good thing. He thinks it's a good thing. Namely, all the Mideast hate that's our foreign policy doing wars in those countries. So you want to know a good example of Mideast hate? I don't know, maybe an offensive war against a country that didn't attack us, like Iraq after 9/11. How about that? And how about all the death and destruction displaced people that caused? Is that an example of Mideast hate? How about when we blow up civilians in Syria or Pakistan or Yemen or Somalia? How about when we blow up civilians there? Is that an example of Mideast hate? Well, again, we mean well, so it's cool. Well, how about this hate here? Just the sanctions that we put on Iraq starting in 1990 after the Kuwait situation, and those sanctions stayed in place until 2003, they killed 500,000 children by 1999, according to UNICEF. Now, understand, the idea in theory was, well, we're going to do sanctions on everything except medical stuff and food stuff. So that, those are the only things we don't have sanctions on. Now, how the sanction manifested in reality is those things were very affected. So not only was it a sanction on everything else, that bled over into food and medical supplies. As a result of that, directly as a result of our sanctions, 500,000 children died by 1999. And they weren't, wasn't even like the sanctions were over then. They continued. As a direct result of American foreign policy, 500,000 Iraqi children died. And you have the nerve to talk about Mideast hate. Like, it's those savages, you know how they are. What about when we act savage? Doesn't count. Doesn't count because we're the good guys by definition. I'm Lindsey Graham, and that's the way it works. Well, Lindsey, the way you think is pathetically narrow-minded and moronic. So forgive me if I don't sit here and accept your casual tribalism and racism. And the reason why I don't accept it, again, is because it is untrue. There's plenty of examples of white American hate. There's plenty of examples of Middle Eastern hate. There's plenty of examples of all different kinds of hate. You only want to focus on one kind because in your mind, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, which is why you're a dangerous person to get near that office, because we know the policies that you implement would fall right in line with that kind of thinking. And you would overlook the wrongdoings we have and overlook and take into account too much wrongdoings on the other side. That's a problem. All right, now, one more, then we'll take our final break, and I'll have a bunch of great stuff for you guys. This is another very important story. Apparently, this whole block was serious. In the wake of white supremacist... Okay, hold on, wait. Yeah, sorry. I wasn't wanting to make sure this was the right story. Got to get the serious stuff out of the way. When we come back, it will be lightened up a little bit, I promise. In the wake of the white supremacist terror attack in Charleston, the Washington Post was curious about the issue of gun safety laws, for understandable reasons. I mean, that's what was used to carry out the attack. There are reports that his parents gave him money on his birthday, and he went out himself and bought the weaponry, even though he has a litany of crazy stuff in his background, and drug abuse and mental issues and whatnot, never mind the racist manifesto online. Any good background check would have prevented him from buying it, but somehow he was able to buy it. So the Washington Post was like, what's up with that, dog? Why don't we go ahead and contact some people in Congress who were previously concerned about the issue of gun safety laws? So they asked Manchin and Toomey, who proposed the recent background check bill, if they were going to bring it back up again or bring up some new legislation. And they didn't have a firm answer, but they expressed interest in doing that, okay? So that's what happened with the Washington Post. Now, cut to a little later on, The Guardian contacted them and asked them basically the same question. And when The Guardian contacted them, they go, No, we're not going to propose any gun reform. So that's interesting. Now, I don't know what happened in that time in the middle there. I don't know if they thought about bringing it up and everybody shut it down. I don't know if they just gave up hope and said, fuck it, let's not even bother trying. I don't know what it is. But bottom line, the issue is dead. The issue is dead. It's dead. Somebody said on Twitter the other day, in reality, the issue was dead after Sandy Hook, when there was an initial push to get some sane gun reform, and it was filibustered by the Republicans, and then they bragged about it. It was a bill, remember, a watered-down background check bill, not even a universal background check bill. 93% of the American people were in favor of a universal background check bill. This was even softer than that, watered-down background check bill. The Republicans filibustered it, going against 93% of the country, and then Mitch McConnell was tweeting about it, laughing, joking with Harry Reid. The issue's totally dead. Children were slaughtered in America on Sandy Hook. We can't get any smart gun reform through at a federal level. That's pathetic. And then here we have another example. It was a terrorist attack. Crazy white supremacist gets his hand on a gun and goes to work. Issue's dead. Totally dead. So I want to put this into perspective for you so you understand just how big of a problem this really is. Because my opinion, honestly, is irrelevant. And I don't want you to take my opinion into consideration and say, this is what I think, too, because he said that. Fuck that. Numbers. Numbers is what matters. Now, December 14th, 2012 is when the Sandy Hook massacre happened. Using the most recent CDC estimates for yearly deaths by guns in the United States, it's here's about the number today of people that have been killed by guns in America since December 14th, 2012. Not that long ago. December 14th, 2012. Not that long ago. Okay? Roughly 89,127 people have died from guns in the U.S. since the Sandy Hook massacre. That number alone should take your fucking breath away. But I'm not done putting this into context yet. Full context matters. So why don't we go ahead and take a look at how many people died on the American side in the Korean War. 54,246. About 89,000 people, gun deaths in America just since Newtown. 54,246 in the Korean War. We've had more deaths. We've had more than a Korean War at home since Newtown. Nobody talks about it. How many Americans died in the Revolutionary War? 25,000. We've had more than three Revolutionary Wars in America since Sandy Hook. Think about that. Fucking think about that. Put aside your personal politics. Put aside everything. Just think about that fact. That's an overwhelming fact. Three Revolutionary Wars in America since Sandy Hook. All right, how many people died in the War on Terror? 6,717 Americans died in the War on Terror. Jesus Christ, man, you tell me how many American War on Terror deaths we've had since Sandy Hook in 2012. I don't even want to know that number because it's so many that it's beyond depressing to the point of thinking, like, are we mentally challenged as a nation? Are we legitimately just stupid people? Is that what it is? And finally, how many people died in Vietnam? 58,209, which means that we've had more gun deaths in America since Sandy Hook than Americans have died in the Vietnam War, which was known as a historic blunder and was known as a super high casualty war in American history. We've had more than a Vietnam War in America since 2012, since December of 2012. Do you think we should maybe do something about guns? Now, again, I'm going to increase my vulnerability on this topic because you guys know if you listened to the show before, I'm not some sort of radical. I don't go, you know, full European style, for example, in some countries or Japan style and say, ban guns! Nor do I think we can ban guns, okay? But I would just like some sane reform, and the reform I want is so fucking moderate that even a majority of NRA members are with me. Remember, it's the leadership of the NRA that's preventing change because they take money from gun manufacturers and then they give it to the Republicans, and the Republicans know block everything. So the leadership of the NRA is the problem. The members of the NRA are actually pretty fucking reasonable. The members of the NRA are like, okay, universal background check, rock and roll. Limit high-capacity magazines, rock and roll. At the state level, if people want to ban assault weapons or ban certain kinds of weapons or have a cap on how many guns you could buy in some situations, go right ahead. That's all we want. Is it really that much? Let's keep the guns out of the hands of the people that have serious psychiatric problems. Let's keep the guns out of the hands of people that have multiple felonies. Let's keep the guns out of the hands of person X, person Y, and person D. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Now, here's where the gun people say, but by definition, if you do a law, the only people that are going to follow it are the people who abide by laws. By that logic, should we get rid of the law on murder, too? Well, only the people that are going to follow the law on murder, you know, are going to listen to it, so why even bother to have a law? Because it's the right thing to fucking do. It's the right thing to have a background check. Is it going to stop everybody who's a criminal from getting a gun, or anybody with a serious mental problem from getting a gun? No. Will it stop a lot of them? Yes, 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 yes. Is it too much to ask? Say, hey, man, maybe your clip should only carry 5 bullets so that somebody can fucking tackle you when you're in the middle of your mass shooting. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. I don't think so. We've had more than a Vietnam in America since Sandy Hook. Think about that. If your answer is do absolutely nothing, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Then I guess you simply do not care about your fellow citizens. All right, let's take a break when we come back. The Fox News idiot Todd Starnes is back, and an interesting gay marriage back and forth on Al Jazeera, and much more. All right, stay right there, guys. Blog Talk Radio, Secular Talk Radio, Kyle Klinsky Show.
After the show, it's the after party, then. After the party, it's the hotel lobby. After the Bellby, then it's probably Chris. And after the original, it's probably this. Yes, Fiesta, Fiesta. Remix with the homie from the Midwest side. Game recognized, game holds new too. It's a new survive, who I suppose you knew. Love, pop the toasters, but don't approach us. Or bullets that chase you like Moet Mimosas. Catch us both coasters, racing twin poachers. Boxers with glass to the pop, you to make you go. Whoever come closest, you've been warned. But niggas don't get the picture till the weapons are drawn. Make your way backstage, baby girl is on. And we'll be drinking till 6 in the morning.
In the back of the club with my mom. Popping the bottles of crisps with my mom. Put the bar on the tab for my mom. Throwing hundreds up for grabs for my mom. It's about to go down tonight. I'ma be drinking till the early to die. Nigga high like a motherfucking desire. Three and it's just to make me feel alive. My, 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 my. What they all say when they see the frozen lines. They say, my, 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 my. Anytime they see them big things only to die. When y'all got a club, they don't fuck up with arenas. Got your man saying that he hasn't seen her. Yeah, she with me on the low, getting high off the floor. Gotta leave on the floor. Fiesta, fiesta, fiesta,
fiesta,
fiesta, fiesta,
fiesta,
fiesta, fiesta. Lanes in my six in the bird. I met a ball named Tasha in the bird. Took the hood and I moved it to the bird. That normal sheriff saw police in the bird. Worry about the terrorist cover. Don't worry about the business cause I got that show love. Ready to move like some fresh out of the air. I need to move all the honey on the air. My, 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 my. Put them dubs on the moon, strippers on the pillow. They say, my, 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 my. From that up and down, so go. When y'all got a club, they don't fuck up with arena. Got your man saying that he hasn't seen her. Yeah, she with me on the low, getting high off the floor. Got her knees
yo,
on the floor.
I put this big body up, come through in the Rover. Not only Kelly and Gotti, it's Boo and Hova. Pop Chris if you like, my eyes glisten the light. And we're rocklin', right? So I'm rich for life. I'm like heaven, everybody wanna get to me. How you make it to the gates after get the key? I'm the one God chose, so you blessed through me. Gotti Floyd, get you high in that ecstasy. And yo, I come through stunning. Plus I'm getting blunted in the new 600 with the big rims on it. We rock rocks, set the lights and shoulders. Got a lot of hot cars, but the drops is colder. You see VIP, me, Kelly, Gotti, and Ho. Drinking Chris like it's H2O. All we do is spin teas, cause we love the dough. Mommy roll more cheese, boy, it's time to go.
Now, if you got cash money, then you feel the shit. And if you're rolling on them things, then you feel the shit. If you're drunk off in the club, then you feel the shit. If you're the motherfucking dog, then you feel the shit.
Bitches, I got 5 stories left for you, and we'll start off with your favorite here. I know a lot of you guys love mocking this one. Fox News resident idiot Todd Starnes weighed in on the Confederate flag being taken down in capitals throughout the South, and naturally, he shit the bed.
It's only a matter of time before the cultural revolutionaries destroy films like Gone with the Wind and Forrest Gump and burn copies of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Oh, Stalin and Lenin would be bursting with pride. You know who else has been doing some cultural cleansing these days? These guys. The Islamic State, bulldozing their way through history, turning Iraq's heritage into rubble. And mark my words. The left's cultural crusade will not stop with the Confederate flag. They will use the perception of racism and hatred to whitewash history and silence dissent. And one day, very soon, I predict they will come after another flag, the one with broad stripes and bright stars. And don't be terribly surprised when even Republicans stand idly by as they burn the Star Spangled Banner.
Just stop. Stop embarrassing yourself. Stop. Everything about that. I'm touched, guys. Let me tell you about the liberals who are like ISIS. What's with the fuck? Even the cadence, the rhythm of how he talks. Stalin and Lenin would be bursting with pride. Why are you talking? Just talk like a normal human being. I don't know why you feel like you have to do that. And he said liberals are going to ban Gone with the Wind. I don't even know where to begin with that. I've never heard a single liberal even bring up Gone with the Wind. Never mind say we should ban it. What is it? You think that's like a popular thing on left-wing forums? You think Code Pink is releasing statements about how we need to go after Gone with the Wind and Forrest Gump? Where are you getting this from? Where are you getting this from? And then naturally liberals are like ISIS. Think about the irony of that. Because the Confederate flag represents slavery, represents secession, it represents terrorism, it represents treason, it represents traitors. So who's closer, who's more aligned with that line of thinking? The liberals or the conservatives? All the conservatives are like, I love that flag that represents slavery. You know, ISIS people are taking slaves, right, including sex slaves. They also believe in slavery. They have a flag. Confederate flag represents slavery. ISIS flag represents slavery. Is there a connection? I didn't say anything. I didn't say it. But see, they make it so I have to. Look, they're going to whitewash history, he said. They're going to whitewash history. As you are in the middle of a segment whitewashing history. You're like, the Confederate flag is a good symbol. But that's whitewashing history. It's a bad symbol. It's a very bad symbol. Fuck, I had one more point here and I lost it. What are you going to do? That's it. Tom Starnes has already felt my wrath. End of the conversation. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, the American flag. That's the point I was thinking of. He says liberals are going to come after the American flag. Dude, just like we mentioned with Limbaugh the other day. No, liberals are the ones protecting the American flag by going after the Confederate flag. Because the Confederate flag, again, represents secession. It represents being literally anti-American. So to say liberals are going after the American flag, no, conservatives are going after the American flag right now by disrespecting it by flying the Confederate flag. And let's be clear. There's this meme, this thought virus on the right now about how liberals are trying to ban the Confederate flag. Liberals are trying to do no such thing. All liberals want and all we've said is take down the Confederate flag from the state houses. Why? Because it's public land. It's funded by the taxpayers, including black taxpayers. You want black taxpayers in, South Carolina, for example, to have to pay for the symbol of their great-grandfathers who were enslaved? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's the issue on public land. You can do whatever you want with your private property, and everybody agrees to that. But they have to strawman us because that's the only way they could form an argument. Is, okay, let's pretend like they want to ban it, and then we can say they want to ban other things which they don't want to ban, like Forrest Gump. Genius, man. Good thinking. And by that, of course, I mean the opposite. Bad thinking. There's no thinking. You're a child. Okay. All right, gay marriage. Good debate on this, / a dumb person getting schooled. The former chair of the Texas Republican Party went on Al Jazeera America and discussed gay marriage and the upcoming Supreme Court case on that issue with David Schuster. Let's watch.
And then children are being taught and led into believing that this is a natural and normal and healthy lifestyle. Now America is considering this, and I think that is a very wrong direction. What we have seen in the Roman Empire and every great empire before, yes, there was a decline in morals toward the end of those empires, but the fact is the United States of America is the first one to say we're going to legalize and legitimize and put on the same level as heterosexual marriage.
And
I think we got to call into question our morals.
Well, speaking of morals, Kathy, if the United States Supreme Court declares that homosexual marriage is legal, that there isn't something abhorrent about it, and that they can get the same benefits, the same rights as every other American, if the United States Supreme Court says it is legal, will you abide by what the United States Supreme Court says?
Do you think that a man's body is meant for penetration by another man, or is a man's body meant
that wasn't the question
in
I asked you.
Union
I was
with
about
a woman whose body is built for that behavior? I think that God made us in a way that heterosexual behavior is healthy and normal and natural. I think homosexual behavior is unnatural and unhealthy.
I'll give you another chance. Do you think if the United States Supreme Court says it's legal, will you follow what the United States Supreme Court says?
I am not going to throw away the scriptures and millennia of history in order to accept the judicial fiat of a few judges.
Okay,
a
we'll take that as a no from the former chairman of the Texas Republican Party.
I don't even know why we bother, man. Why are we even bothering doing this? They start out trying to have a rational conversation, and then by the end of it, they throw an intellectual shit bomb into the conversation. God! You know, I can't bring myself to say no to God or the scriptures. So then what the fuck are you about? Why are you involved in government? Why are you involved in politics? Do you not understand the way the United States of America works? Do you not understand that we are a secular government? The government has to be neutral on religious issues? Meanwhile, your punk ass is trying to create policy based off of your opinion of your religion with your interpretation. I just can't bring myself to say no to God. If the Supreme Court says the opposite of what God says, well, then I got to go with God. How many other things you want to do that with? Why don't you do that with the clothes you wear? Have you ever worn a mix of two different fabrics? Kill yourself if you have. Have you ever eaten shellfish? Kill yourself if you have. Have you ever worked on Sunday? Kill yourself if you have. You want me to continue here? I can continue. So many things in the Bible are banned and are bad, and you don't give a fuck about them. You're just focused on the gay people because your parents were bigots and they taught you to be a bigot, so you're continuing your bigotry. And then this idea that it's, again, a thought virus. I've heard this from right-wingers so many times, and it's an embarrassing point to make. They go, well, you know, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, all these different empires throughout history, it's the homosexuality led to their downfall. Really? Really? You think that's true? But how? How would that, even theoretically, philosophically, how would that be true? You know, those Ottomans in the Ottoman Empire, they were busy conquering lands. Then they realized that all the men there have assholes, so they wanted to fuck them. And they just kept fucking them all day long, and they couldn't bring themselves to continue to conquer territory. It was strange. I'd never seen nothing like it. What, how even theoretically would that make sense? Once people start having gay sex, they can't do anything else through the rest of the day. They can't continue an empire. Gay sex is like straight sex in the sense that you have like roughly the same time frame, and then you're done, and then you fucking go eat a sandwich and go take care of business. What are you talking about? You know, gay sex leads to the downfall of all the empires. It's a historical fact. The stupidity of that comment is so overwhelming, I could spend an hour just breaking down that comment. That's how dumb it is. And then the best part, of course. You know, I'd ask you, is it the case that is a man made to penetrate another man? Okay. It's what's stunning is that that logic satisfies her. She's like, well, I'm out. I tap out. I could see, like, her religious teacher telling her this when she was, like, in middle school. Good point. You win. Men should not be attracted to men. Men should not do anything with other men like that because, hello, do the pieces fit? I don't think so. I'm not a scientist or anything, but I'm pretty sure, while it is true, you got us, scientific fact, men are not born with vaginas, right? So they can't have sex in that way. But men have mouths. Men have asses. You know, that is something that's... those pieces would fit. No, you know what it is that's so frustrating? It's moral judgment, moral judgment, moral judgment. But this isn't a realm where moral judgment is appropriate. It's just sex. That's all it is. But see, this is where they apply their morality. And where do they not apply it? And where do they shit the bed? They go, well, we got to invade Iraq. I mean, that's what, hello, Saddam Hussein, 9/11, all that stuff, man, whatever, let's go. Our leader tells us to go, let's go. So there, they're not concerned about morality. They're not concerned about morality when it comes to food stamps. They're not concerned about morality when it comes to Obamacare or Medicare. They're not concerned about it in areas that actually matter. Where they are concerned about it, what are you doing with your booty hole, son? Is that man putting something in your booty hole? Because my God does not approve of that. Well, fuck your God. How about that? All right, now we go to Pat Robertson. There's a listener of the show who tweeted me yesterday a link to a Pat Robertson segment, and he actually said that he's the one that asked the question and got Pat to respond to it, which is awesome. So I went back today and tried to find his name, but I wasn't able to do it. I went pretty far back, but I get a lot of tweets, so I would have to go super de-duper far back. I couldn't find it, but if you're listening to the show, the person who sent me that, tweet me again, and if I see the name, I'll remember it, and then I'll bring it up on tomorrow's show and give you some credit. But a listener got on, which is sweet, and he got Pat Robertson to rant about witches. So Right Wing Watch also saw this, and they clipped it out. Let's take a look.
A family that recently moved into my neighborhood claims to be Wiccan. I've heard from my son some of the things their daughter told him, and it really kind of frightened me to hear about spells and other concepts I've never heard of in the Bible. Should I let my son be friends with their daughter? Should I try to be friends with the family? I'm so unsure. What is the Christian thing to do, Pat?
Well, thing like that, you know, you look at the Old Testament, and it says you don't intermarry with them. You don't give your sons to their daughters or their daughters to your sons. Their sons, they'll corrupt you. And, you know, these people, you know, they say as well as white, these are white witches versus black witches. There's no such thing as good witch. I mean, you know, it's all demonic, and you don't want your children involved in that stuff. I mean, they have power. Don't think it's not real. It is real, but it's real wrong. And I would just say you're not permitted to go to their houses or anything to do with them. I mean, they may seem to be very pleasant people and all that, but they'll destroy your children, and you have to protect them.
Again, I take my hat off to the viewer who crafted that question and went to Pat Robertson and got him to answer it. Because that's... He answered in the exact wrong way. He's like, well, I mean, they're witches, and they're witches, and witches is bad. They're demonic. There's something wrong with them. So I'd say you got to keep your kids away from your kids. They'll corrupt them. They'll corrupt them. Dude, he thinks witches are real. But let me ask a question. So if you're a Christian... then you think, by definition, you believe in Christianity, you think that's correct. So why are you concerned about Wiccans? Why are you concerned about a different group that doesn't believe what you believe? Wouldn't you say their stuff is bullshit and it's not true and there aren't witches? Wouldn't you agree with me and say there aren't witches? But he's like, no, I believe that what they're saying is real, but my voodoo is real also. So we need to be aware of their voodoo because we have the spirits and the spirit worlds are working all in all these weird ways. They're going to corrupt our kids. They're going to do all these bad things. All the witches are so bad. You know what it reminds me of? I hate to say this, but it's true. In Africa today, in many places, there are still communities that believe in witches. And you know what they end up doing? Hurting them. In some cases, killing them. Because they believe in black magic and all these things. And, you know, if somebody's accused, it'll be this mob mentality, and they'll just go to work and end up killing somebody. What's scary to me is that Pat Robertson, a guy who thinks of himself as civilized, if he was in that context, he wouldn't be somebody to go, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What are you doing? Witches aren't real. He'd be like, well, maybe the witch is real. Maybe we do have to kill this one. Let's stop and think about it. Oh, they're demonic. They're demonic. But so why? But how do these demons work? I've asked this question before. If a demon is supernatural, which they are, then why would they have to work in weird ways? You know, like you see in like a scary movie where like they take over your cat and then your cat scares the shit out of you or something like that. Why wouldn't they just? They're a demon. They're supernatural. Why can't they just boom? You're dead. They're supernatural. They can do it. They're not. You know, they don't have human limits. They can just do whatever they want. Here's a tsunami. Here I just killed your grandfather.
here, I just, they could do anything, but no. According to guys like Pat Robertson, what they'll do is they'll move next door to you. They'll be your neighbors. And they'll have kids that seem nice, but their kids are also a problem. And their kids will corrupt your kids because they're witches. Then they'll take out a big cauldron and they'll go, we are making soup in our big cauldron. And we're evil. Once you let go of reason and rationality, once you buy into religious dogmatism, there is no end to it. Sometimes when people invoke a slippery slope argument, it's bullshit, it's untrue, and they're making it up. For religion, it is totally true. It is totally true as evidenced by all kinds of religious people all around the world. It's not like it's just, you know, moderate, sane, happy, loving, tolerant religious people. No, there's also the fucking fundamentalists and the idiots like Pat Robertson who are legitimately afraid, oh, your next door neighbor's a witch, oh, just shit my depends. Oh, just shit my depends. Or he's scared of Dungeons and Dragons. He says, don't play that. It's demonic. Don't play that. Harry Potter? Oh, stay. Don't read Harry Potter. They got a lot of voodoo witchcraft in there. You don't want your mind to get corrupted. The old what's-his-face, Jerry Falwell, that jackass thought that the Teletubbies were demonic or were a problem because one of them might have been gay. So he's like, don't watch the Teletubbies. Don't watch. You know what it is? They view all of that as their competition. They think, well, I'm preaching bullshit, and I got to do people over. But then you got this idiot next door who was preaching about different bullshit, witches, witchcraft, and stuff like that. So he's competing with me, so I got to try to shut him out and say, you can't talk to other people preaching bullshit and give them money because you got to listen to my bullshit and give me money. Did I just say that out loud? Squeeze in one or two more here if we have the time. There's a former Baltimore police officer named Michael A. Wood Jr. who came clean. He was on Twitter, and something made him snap, and he couldn't hold back all the things that he knew, and he just let it all out and said exactly what went on at the Baltimore Police Department and just how bad it was. And long story short, I know the conservatives are going to hate to hear this, but long story short, the liberals were right all along. When liberals talk about how, you know, there seems to be a problem with the way the officers are trained, and it seems to be like they're like a fucking fraternity in the way they act. It doesn't look like they're really looking out for the community. Totally true. Totally true. And this guy admits it. He admits it. So let me give you some of his tweets here. He says, so here we go. I'm going to start tweeting the things I've seen and participated in policing that is corrupt, intentional or not. A detective slapping a completely innocent female in the face for bumping into him coming out of a corner chicken store. Punting a handcuffed face-down suspect in the face after a foot chase, it was my handcuffs, not my boot or suspect. CCTV cameras turning as soon as a suspect is close or caught. Oh, so they're trying to hide what they do when they beat the shit out of them. Here's another one that shocked me. Pissing and shitting inside suspects' homes during raids on their beds and clothes. Jacking up and illegally searching thousands of people with no legal justification, having other people write PC statements who were never there because they could twist it into legality, summonsing officers who weren't there so they could collect the overtime, targeting 16 to 24-year-old black males essentially because we arrest them more, perpetuating the circle of arresting them more. There you have it. There you have it. We will accept all the apologies from conservatives. You have a week to usher in all of your apologies. I'm sure every single one of you will give us one. That's not going to happen. Most of them are just going to fucking continue saying the same horseshit. Okay. See, here's why this is so important. It puts it into context, and now you understand why it is that in many poor communities, in many African-American communities around the country, they feel as if police are essentially an invading army that is occupying them. They're not there looking out for their best interest. They're not there to uphold the law. They're not there to deliver justice. What they're there to do is harass and shake down. Okay, and we know that with the drug war and civil asset forfeiture, sometimes that's literally what happens. They shake them down with civil asset forfeiture, take the money, and then they don't get it back. They arrest them, put them in jail for smoking marijuana, and we have the new Jim Crow. I mean, that's no different than a rich guy sitting in his fucking, you know, place in Beverly Hills drinking scotch at night, but the cops aren't buzzing down his door and arresting him. He's just doing a substance. He's not hurting anybody. Same thing with a guy smoking weed in the hood, but they view it as, fuck it, let's arrest him and let's harass him and let's have this new Jim Crow the entire drug war go on. So
This is why it's so important, because it gives you context, it gives you perspective, and you understand that there's a good reason why people in poor communities and in African-American communities, they're standoffish with the cops because they know that they don't give a fuck about them. They don't care about them, man. The way that we need to fix, there's many ways we need to fix this, but first and foremost, clean house, son. Clean house. Everybody who was ever involved in any kind of abuse whatsoever, let them go. And if it turns out that, hey, you got to start from scratch with the police department, so be it. You got to do what you got to do. I'm not going to keep somebody on the force who is pissing and shitting on somebody's bed and acting like they're the ones that are moral. Fuck out of here. That's the opposite. That's a fireable offense. You do that. And then, like I said, you end the drug war to stop the legal harassment of people around the country. You end civil asset forfeiture. You have the – not only do you have the body cameras on all the cops, you make it so that if you shut it off or if you miss your target, your punk ass is going to jail. How about that? You also need community policing programs so that people from the community police their own community, because then they're more likely, since they know everybody, to not be assholes. There are many real substantive things that we can do to address the problem. And when you read something like this, you find out very clearly the problem is way worse than even some of the harshest critics thought it was. When they're going this far and people who were police officers are admitting, yeah, it's all bullshit and we're just a gang. Well, now you see where a lot of the anger comes from. All right, I got 3 minutes. I'll squeeze in this Texas story. Republicans in Texas have officially lost their minds. Raw Story reports the following, quote, Texas voters think Governor Greg Abbott was right to send the Texas State Guard to monitor U.S. military exercises, and they consider federally ordered domestic military intervention likely under certain circumstances, according to the latest University of Texas poll. Abbott sent the Texas State Guard to monitor the so-called Jade Helm 15 military exercises in central Texas earlier this year, after particularly vocal activists expressed fears that what was being billed as an exercise was actually something far more sinister. While a third of the registered voters in the poll had no opinion about the governor's action, 39% agreed with it and 28% opposed it, the poll found. It was popular with a particular group, Tea Party Republicans, who were paying attention to the issue, 85% of whom agreed with Abbott. 50% said it is likely that the feds would send the military to violate citizens' property rights. Smaller but significant numbers said the military would likely be used to impose martial law. 44% of Texas Republicans said martial law is coming to Texas. Okay. Virtually half of the Republicans in Texas are out to fucking lunch, man. Seriously? This is what you believe? 85% of the Tea Party is like, America's going to invade Texas. Texas is part of America. I don't know if you got the fucking memo. You're not your own country. Do you not know how this works? They're gonna take away our property rights. Bitch, you already owe taxes. You're part of the United States of America. We all owe taxes. What the fuck is wrong with you? I don't get where does it come from? This paranoia. What, the military's training in Texas, so what are they gonna do? Take over Austin so that they can give it back to Austin to make it part of America? It is part of America. What are you talking about? The reason why I'm covering this is I don't even know how to respond to the silliness, because it's just so silly. Like, what do you say to somebody like that? You know what it is? Ask them to elaborate on their belief. Oh, you think the government, you think the military is going to take over Texas? How exactly would that work? Go into detail. Who would get it after they take it over? Would they give control of Texas to the president of the United States, who already has control of Texas to a certain extent? Is that what they do? You haven't thought this out, have you? Go sit outside. All right, we're out of time, guys. Love you to death. Kisses, smooches. See you tomorrow for an awesome Friday show. Everybody have a great night. Peace.